magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends Eli, Jared, and Mike most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what is up? And welcome to the Touch Arcade Show, episode number 440. This is the continuing in quarantine edition.
Jared, I have breaking news for you.
What's the breaking news?
I actually just happened. I got the shipping alert for my Supreme Oreos.
Oh, Supreme Oreos, because that was one of the last things they haven't branded a special Supreme version of yet. Supreme, so Oreos make sense.
Oreos.
How many did you buy?
So they come in a pack of three. I bought 8 packs, which was the max.
So I have a pack of 3 cookies each?
Yeah, so 24 Supreme Oreos, which cost me like $30 shipped.
I will say is from all the dumb Supreme branded like crossover crap that's come out, the Oreos are sick because they have a Supreme logo like baked into the cookie part, and then so the cookies themselves are red.
Yeah,
I actually think they look tight. But the only problem is, like, how many are you gonna eat? I mean, you have to save like one pack at least,
you have to save one pack. I feel like you eat one, you save one, and then you give the rest away as really dumb presents throughout the year.
That could be another thing, too. But yeah, I'd be really curious, like, what if they were the best cookie you've ever had in your life?
Supreme cookie?
Yeah. And then the rest of your life became having to like chase trying to get the limited Supreme versions of Oreos, spending thousands and thousands.
What I thought would be funny is like if you had a, and this would only work in a city like Los Angeles or something like that, where you had, and during, coronavirus mania is totally the worst time to do it, but like if you had like some ice cream stand that had like the Supreme sundae. That was, like really expensive, but it came like with the Supreme Oreo on top of it.
Oh man, that's a good idea, actually. Yeah. Man, what a weird world we live in where something like that exists. Not just exists, but sells out instantly.
It was like so insane that like all of Lindsay's friends even knew about it. They're like, are you guys getting the Supreme Oreo? Y'all like Supreme stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy, especially considering there's been a Supreme brick. And like you would think that would be the dumbest thing possible, but it's not.
Those are expensive. I was gonna buy one just because they were so stupid, but they're really expensive.
I feel like a sick flex would be to build a house out of them.
So
live in a Supreme brick house.
Yeah. So I don't know if this is just like a crazy Reddit story or something like that, but allegedly, someone tried to buy as many bricks as they could to build a Supreme brick house, but could only come up with like a couple thousand. And then it like came out the fact that like Supreme only made like, like a few thousand of them anyway. So there was never enough Supreme bricks in existence to even build something with it if you wanted to.
Well, I mean, practically speaking, you'd probably just build a regular brick house and stick a Supreme one here and there. So they were prominent. And you wouldn't need to use them on the back of your house or anything. You could just be on the front. Or maybe just build Supreme like barbecue pizza oven in your backyard or something like that. That would be cool too.
So on March 21st at 2:09 a.m. Eastern time, a Supreme brick sold on StockX for $156.
Damn. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Get a brick.
The Oreos are not on StockX because they're food and they can't resell them.
Oh shit. Wow. That puts them in a whole new level of rarity.
So the crazy thing is, not to get into like fucking streetwear mania, but like, so Off-White, which is another brand of streetwear stuff that people are super into, they released these face masks that everyone was like, all right, okay, yeah, why would you release a face mask? Now they're like the hottest thing ever.
Oh, I'm sure.
They're all up like 100% or more in how much they cost on the secondary market. So
that's pretty wild. We went to the dog park. This was a few months ago, but we went to the dog park and one of the dogs there had a Supreme like dog vest, like harness sort of thing or whatever.
Yeah, there's a bunch of fake whether fake.
I thought it was a fake one. Not that I can tell, but it just screamed not like a real thing to me.
Yeah, no, there's a few Etsy shops that will like make like the they call them Pupreme. And it actually like looks like the Supreme logo, but it's like there's a P instead of an S.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
But yeah,
that's really funny. Well, can't wait for you to get your Supreme cookies in the mail. That's good use of your funds and your time. Well,
the crazy thing is they're coming from New York City.
Oh, they're gonna be
so like watching like yeah no watch I get the fucking Supreme cookies on like Monday or Tuesday and like two yeah. weeks from then I'm like on the podcast I'm just like sweating bullets because I'm have such a high fever and I'm yeah. coughing like crazy and I get the fucking coronavirus from the Supreme cookies.
Is there any other way you'd rather die than by eating no. virus covered Supreme cookies? That would be the way you'd want to go out.
That would be so on brand for me that it yeah. like not it would not even be funny.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, and then we'd have to get you a Supreme casket.
Yeah.
Or like urn, I guess. Maybe that'd be easier.
I don't know. My will right now says to just throw me in a dumpster, so
throw me in a dumpster behind a Domino's. Yeah.
An unattended dumpster.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess to get back on track, how do you get back on track from that? I don't even know what we're talking about.
And stuff.
What am I even doing here?
I don't
What's
know.
Happening?
It's Friday. It's hot out here.
It's Friday. I should turn my air conditioning on,
but I'm too stupid.
This is the official 1 week mark for us to have not been in contact with absolutely anybody.
Oh, you guys haven't left the house at all?
What's that?
You haven't left the house like at all?
We have not left the house except to take the dog for a walk. And even when I do, if I come across somebody on the sidewalk, which is actually surprisingly rare, it's a wide, wide berth around them to where they look at me like I'm crazy. But I'm like, no, I'm not even getting within like 15 feet of you. But yeah, there's not too many people out anyway. But we live across the street from the UC Davis Med Center, which is a huge hospital complex. And so there's people working. It's a hospital and they're working crazy. So I try to avoid the spots where there's a lot of people, you know, workers and stuff like that. But
I told you that Brad lives across the street from that hospital where this all started in Seattle.
Yeah, that's hope Brad's hanging in there.
Yeah. He's probably freaking out. He's kind of a germaphobe.
Yeah, no kidding. But yeah, no, last Friday, you might remember because I think it got recorded for posterity. My parents came over and brought us a bunch of supplies and stuff because the dumbest thing was like we were actually almost out of toilet paper. And so we usually buy the big thing of it at Costco and it lasts for a long time and whatever. But Pam had these coupons for Costco that didn't start until Thursday. And so she like purposely waited to go do a Costco run until like coupons went into effect or whatever. But during that time, from like the Sunday we probably should have gone to the Thursday when she actually went, is when all the shit hit the fan with the yeah. NBA shutting down and stuff. And so, yeah, by the time she actually went to Costco, toilet paper was long gone. So come to the rescue were my parents with extra toilet paper, tons yeah. of dog food and frozen human food.
Kind of like stupidly lucked into having like an absurd stockpile of toilet paper because like so for us like where we live now the Costco is about like 40 minutes or so away, which like isn't crazy, but it's like mm-hmm. it kind of turns it into like okay, this evening our activity is Costco,
right? Right,
you know,
right,
because it's like almost like a 3 hour round trip once you're there yeah, for right. a while. And you know, so we had gone up to Costco you know, like probably like a few days before like the true coronavirus mania started. Yeah. And we're just like, this is kind of far. Like, let's just really stock up so we don't have to like, yeah. because like when we lived in Chicago, we would just go to Costco on like Saturday morning, like,
yeah,
you know, most weeks. But because it's farther away, like we just we're like, let's try to do this like every, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks instead, because it's kind of a huge time sink. And just like,
yeah.
got like two giant things of toilet paper, like a bunch of yeah. water, like yeah. way more frozen stuff than we'd usually buy and everything else. And yeah. it was like 2 days later, everyone was clearing out the all the shelves. And we were like, damn, yeah. like we accidentally timed that perfectly.
That's good though. That's good. That was kind of how it was when we lived in the shack. It was like an hour drive to the closest Costco and Target and all that good stuff. And so you felt like, let's make this count. If we're going to spend a whole Saturday going to Costco, let's get all the stuff. So
I just like don't
I feel you.
understand the run on toilet paper of all things.
I don't get that either.
I mean, because like, if you're out of toilet paper, you could always just poop and take a shower.
Yeah, there's plenty of things you
I
can
mean,
do. And
there's like,
then,
yeah, it's not like an unsolvable problem, right?
well, if it's a real serious world problem, like you probably don't have working plumbing anymore and stuff too. You know what I mean? So, does it even really matter that you have toilet paper? I don't know. It's pretty crazy.
I have no idea. It's just like I don't know. Like of all the things that you could, because like for us here, like the first thing that went was toilet paper. Like the Walmarts, it was crazy. Like going to Walmart because it'd be like shelves stocked of food, milk, eggs, you name it. Like that's all fine. Toilet paper gone. Like a fucking
Empty
Wild
shelf.
West ghost town with a tumbleweed rolling through it, you know?
I mean, if it was me, it'd be water and canned food all the way. Like, those are the things I would buy in bulk first
Yeah.
before toilet paper.
That was my
So,
thing too, because it was like, man, if you have all the toilet paper and no food, like you have nothing to eat to poop out. So like you don't have a
that's
problem.
true too. You're like, oh, our underground bunker of toilet paper supply is going to waste because we don't
Yeah.
have any food to eat.
So
Oh,
we went
well.
out for the first time very early Wednesday morning. We had been inside for about, I don't think we left for like a good 10 days or so. And we were just kind of like, I don't know, running out of like produce and stuff like that. And I just like didn't want to eat like a solid diet of like macaroni and cheese and ramen and stuff. So we actually like really like planned ahead and we were like, all right, we're going to be in the car. We're going to be in the Walmart parking lot 10 minutes before they open. We're going to be like the first people in, try to, contact as few people as possible and just leave. And there's fucking no one there. And we went at 7 in the morning. So
Because nobody in your state cares.
yeah. And it was weird. Like they had everything, but it was their selection was really strange in that like you could buy as much pasta as you ever would want, but all they had was like half size, like half length spaghetti and like
Oh,
weird stuff you would like never really buy. So.
this is probably all just a ploy from the supermarket industry to get through all their back stock of stuff that never sells. And so now they're like, all right, all this toilet paper that was about to expire, we got rid of it. All
Yeah.
this weird shaped pasta, we're gonna sell it all.
These
All
idiots are
the
buying
gross
half-length
canned food.
spaghetti. Yeah, I don't know.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
So we'll see. It's just like to the whole like the snowball of this just blows my mind though because like seriously it was probably like almost exactly like a month ago now, right? Or I guess like a month and a week or whatever. We were like, this seems weird. Like I don't know what's gonna happen. They might talking about like canceling GDC, which seems kind of crazy and.
Yeah, it all escalated really quickly.
Yeah.
And it definitely bums me out that we didn't start doing any of this stuff until much, much later than we should have. And I don't know where it's going to go from here. I'm sick of staying inside. I'm sick of not seeing people. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
I'm ready for it to be over, but I just know that to properly try and rectify this whole situation, it means a lot more inside time. So.
Well, and what's crazy is like I just like don't know how we can go back to how things were without like a really like graduated plan on like okay, leave the house once in a while. Like okay, everything's back to normal. Like there has to be like you can't just flip a light switch and be like okay, everything's back to normal because what's going to happen is like everyone's going to like rush out to bars and restaurants and just I don't know, it's going to be crazy. We'll see what
It is a
happens.
weird thing, but I could also see, like, I bet so many people have used things like Postmates and stuff for the first time in the last couple of weeks or whatever, and tried out like grocery delivery and things like that, or Amazon Fresh or whatever. And I could see so many people who have now experienced that not wanting to go back, even when they could go back to the store, being like, why
Yeah.
bother? I can just like buy a bunch of stuff online and have it delivered for an extra $10 or whatever.
Well, so I think the interesting thing that's going to come of this is like all things like that that are probably like a better way to do some things that like might stick around after like everything returns to normal. Like the so I had all these like weird problems with my Comcast yesterday or the day before or something like
Oh, right.
that. And when I finally talked to like a dude in America who knew what he was talking about, he was like, you're waiting for his computer to load like my account or whatever. And I was like, oh, you're working from home now or you still have to go to the call center? And like we talked for like longer than we needed to about how he was like, oh yeah, dude, they got us sent home and it's like it's amazing. And like I'm really trying to go above and beyond to like show my manager that I'm like really productive at home and
yeah
everything else. Yeah. Because like he was telling me, he's like, dude, I have like an hour and 20 minute commute to the call center, and like it's taking time away from my daughter that like now I have like, you know, more than 2.5 hours extra of my day that I can spend with my family, and I'm able to do my job at home, and it's the same.
So exactly like, the same.
He's like, dude, please stay on the call afterwards, like rate me, you know, nicely and everything else. Like, I'm really trying to. And I was like, damn, that sucks that they're making you go into a call center and there's like effectively no disruption in your job by just doing it at home.
Yeah, I do believe that a lot of those types of situations will permanently change, and a lot of companies will see, oh, you can work from home and it's basically the same. If anything, it's cheaper. We don't have to, you know, rent a office building or whatever, and people don't have to commute. And there's just so many things that are great about it. And even when I worked in a call center for Verizon, and this is like almost 20 years ago, you know, the way the phones were how they tracked like your like production level or whatever. And so how many times you were like online and available to take calls, and then they could record your calls if they needed to, or, you know, whatever. But essentially, if like you have that set up in your home, they can still track your productivity even without you being physically in front of them, or, you know, having a manager check in on you or whatever. And at least in my call center, there's so many people, it's like nobody was really watching what you were doing anyway. It all came down to like you know, your availability numbers that were tracked through your special phone or whatever. So
no, for sure. Like this Comcast guy, like I'm sure that they can track like, oh, this guy answered 300 calls today, or you know, like whatever else. Like was on the phone 98% of the time of the shift, or
Yeah, there's no reason for you to go into a call center for that.
Which like really makes you wonder. I mean, I have no concept of how much like a giant office costs, but like I would think it would be really expensive to have some of these really giant corporate offices that are just kind of unnecessary.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it depends on where you are. Is you could probably get a giant office building in the middle of nowhere for cheap, but that's still more than you would need to spend, really, if you didn't need to. So
the other kind of interesting thing that's come of this is, remember all the Able Gamer stuff that was associated with Train Jam, a couple of years ago. So I follow like a ton of those people on Twitter, and it's been kind of interesting watching them kind of like gripe about like how, oh wow, interesting that like all these jobs that were really hard for a handicapped person to do because they need to leave the house now are totally workable from home. That's nice.
Right. Yeah. That is pretty messed up.
But yeah, no, that's what I hope is like work from home becomes like a normal thing now, and like people that have a hard time getting around or commute really far like just don't need to deal with that anymore. That would be like a real silver lining to this whole bullshit that we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So
no need to live in the Bay Area.
Yeah. Well, should we talk about some iPhone games, I guess?
Since sure, why not?
Good distraction.
Seems to be a thing that people do, play iPhone games. So this was a pretty cool announcement this week. Nitrome announced their game Bomb Chicken is going to be coming to iOS as a premium release. It's up for pre-order now. Launches on April 1st. Interestingly enough, this game actually, I didn't realize it had been so long. It came out in July of 2018, so almost 2 years ago. But I remember it was kind of like a big to-do because it was Nitrome making a console game and not a mobile game, which is where they kind of originated in the mobile and Flash world or whatever. And of course, as mobile gamers, we know of them as making awesome games, like pretty much without exception. So when they announced this game, I thought, oh, that's really cool. They're like diving into the console world and whatever, sort of half expecting it to be a mobile game at some point. Not really thinking it would take 2 years, but I have never ended up playing this on any of the other platforms it's on, but I've always thought it looked really cool. Basically, it's kind of a puzzle platformer where you're a chicken that can lay bombs instead of eggs. And it uses it in a really interesting way so that you can actually lay a bunch of eggs on top of each other and effectively like use them to create platforms up to higher places and stuff like that. Kind of like, you know, Mario 2 or something like that. You might grab a bunch of blocks and stack them up or something like that. And But then, of course, your bombs always explode and they can kill you. So you got to like get out of the way of them or whatever. But basically, it looks like a really cool game. I imagine it should control fine on touchscreen. I don't really see why it shouldn't. I'm kind of surprised it took this long to make its way to mobile, but I'm happy that it's coming because I love Nitrome. So April 1st, you can pre-order it now. It'll be $5. What a deal. Looks super awesome. Pretty hyped for it.
Yeah.
What is that, next week? That is next week.
Yeah.
It's like Tuesday or something, isn't it?
Yeah, no, this week has been a long year.
Yes, it's so bananas. The other dumb thing is like I work from home every day, and this it usually isn't a problem, but for whatever reason, like maybe it's because like Pam is home all the time or something, but like I have no idea what day any day is. And so I'm like, is it Tuesday? Like, oh my God, it's Thursday. Oh my God, it's Monday. And I'm like, I never had a problem with this before, but maybe it's just because everybody's kind of in this weird state and it's screwing up everybody's calendar or something like that.
Yeah.
But like even today, I'm like, oh, it's Friday? Is that even right? Like, what is a Friday? So anyway, moving on. Due to the coronavirus stuff, everyone being stuck at home, a lot of game devs have been doing freebies for their games or huge discounts or whatever. We've tried to kind of highlight the major ones because there's just so many, it's super hard to keep up with. But this one I had to post about because it is Rolando Royal Edition, and Rolando is very near and dear to our hearts. It was one of the first big time original mobile games, really. Came out all the way back in 2008, and that seems amazing to me that a game that old is this good still. They remade it last year and released it as Rolando Royal Edition. The remake is super duper good, and it's free right now. I think it's free through the weekend, possibly. I don't know. If you're listening to this now, go check, and if it's still free, get it. But it's not going to be forever, so if it's paid again, just buy it. It's good anyway.
Yeah, no, it's a great game. Like, it's worth your money, whether you get it for free or not.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, just everything about Rolando is like this should have been the Mario of iPhone, and kind of in a lot of ways was, but
It was
maybe.
for a while until NG Moco embraced free to play in the words of some of our
Maybe
curmudgeon-y
if things had
commenters.
turned out differently. But Rolando Royal Edition, the remake, is super duper good. Reminds you how good this game was so early on in the life of mobile. So go get it for free. And then feel bad that you didn't pay money for it because it's that good.
Yeah.
What's that? You got something to say, Eli?
No, I was just saying, yeah.
Oh, yes. So More Fight, a game I like a whole lot, has just been updated to support like the latest iPhone 11 devices, and it also support the 120 hertz refresh rate of the iPad Pros, which I think is pretty cool.
It's
More
weird
Fight's
how
just
this
been.
is rare, like a rare thing still.
Yeah, I feel like this should be a way more prominent sort of thing because it's a noticeable difference in person. I think that's maybe the problem is not enough people have seen this in person. But when a game's running at this 120 refresh rate, it's just like freaky smooth, and you want every game to have it. So it's always cool when games take advantage of that, and More Fight's just a really good game anyway. Kind of interesting side note was that this was one of the games released on PlayOn, and PlayOn was a subscription service, kind of like Game Club, except that they were plucking games that already existed and turning them into subscription games without any sort of messaging for existing owners
Yeah,
or
pissed off a
anything
lot of
like that.
people.
Yeah, I think I in some ways I feel bad for PlayOn because I think they had a solid idea, but I think it was their execution really was like their downfall, and their lack of any sort of messaging and stuff like that. And so, and also, I mean, I feel like on the quick pitch for Game Club is, hey, we are resurrecting these old games that were no longer playable. That's a valiant thing to do. Apple Arcade is like, hey, our pitch is these are brand new original games for mobile. And that's like a cool thing. And then PlayOn's just like games you already own, but turned into subscription for some reason. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there was no value pitch for, especially for all the people that already bought these games. And it was just inevitable you were going to piss off all those existing owners when they all of a sudden get these updates that say their game is turning into a subscription. Whether it, they maintain the premium version for you or not. That's just like a sour sort of taste in your mouth.
Yeah, it was wild too how like their original like launch strategy didn't include like allowing people that paid for the games before to play them.
Yeah, they had to like scramble to figure out how to enable that. So I guess they're just expecting all these existing owners of just, all these really good games.
Just like, all right, well, I'll just subscribe to play this thing I already bought.
That's yeah, cool. Like I can't imagine how they thought that was going to work out. But anyway, PlayOn went belly up. They're gone. So anybody that had a PlayOn game, I guess a weird side effect is that if you did download any of the games while they were free through PlayOn, they got reverted now into their former premium selves. And so effectively, you got the game for free.
Can you hear that? Is that coming through?
That crazy?
I don't know. Just some cool guy with a really awesome car.
Oh, really? Was that like a big old pick-em-up truck?
Who knows?
Well, that's fun. So anyway, Morphite was previously one of those games that got taken into the PlayOn service, and now it is back as a Crescent Moon published game. It is back to its premium self. It was on sale for $1, but that is no longer available. It's now back up to its normal price of $8. That's why you should read TetraKate every day, because when we posted about it, it was on sale and you could have got it for $1 if you follow along, if you get my drift.
Morphite is also on Steam, and I'm pretty sure Switch plus other consoles.
Yeah, it's on Switch. Yeah,
so if you want to play this with, like, you know, on your PC or real controls, like, mm-hmm. You know, with the Switch or whatever, because you don't have an MFI controller, that's also an option.
Although yeah, it's more expensive, but I've thought about grabbing it on Switch just to have it, because I like the game a lot. I imagine it would be a really good experience on the Switch. Mm-hmm. It plays fine with touch controls, but you know, if you're not into that whole thing,
some people just like physical controls. I've never been one that has been able to do the first person controls on touchscreen. Like, don't know. Like, it's just, maybe I'm just an idiot, but.
You just suck at video games.
Yeah.
So moving on, we had talked about this previously, but Skullgirls Mobile finally got its last existing character added to the game. Her name is Fakula, and that almost I don't know how you would say that. It's bad word name sounded name.
Not work safe.
not safe for work name is on purpose, because this actually started as an April Fool's joke in the console and PC version of Skullgirls, where kind of at the height of the game being released and being super popular, they were working on a bunch of new content, including a bunch of new characters. And so April 1st rolled around and they released this video that was basically like, none of our stuff that we're working on is ready. It takes too long. But hey, we heard you guys like palette swaps, so here you go. And they introduced this new character who was basically a palette swap of an existing character as a joke. And that's why your name is Fuck You Up, because it's like, fuck you, here's your palette swap.
Yeah.
We don't have a new character for you or whatever. But being the rascals that they are, the Skullgirls fan base was like, no, you announced it as a new character. We want this in the game. That should be a new character. The developers of the console version were like, okay, fine. So they actually fleshed it out into a new character that has like unique moves and some unique aspects. It's still visually very much kind of a palette swap, but it is actually a character that plays much differently than the original version. And so Skullgirls on Mobile is basically a mobile adaptation of the console and PC game, and that kind of means there was only a finite amount of characters that they could add to the game, because there's only so many that are in the console version and PC version already. So they had basically added everyone that they could add, and Fakua is the last of those pre-existing characters. However, we did announce this last month. The mobile version developer, Hidden Variable, is working with the developers of the console and PC version. They're actually going to create a brand new character for the mobile version of the game, which I think is mind-blowing. So there will be a new brand new character now that they've finally added all of the pre-existing ones, and there's nowhere else to go from here except brand new. or just release even more variants of existing characters, but I don't think they can get away with that anymore.
I wonder how many people play this game, because like the amount of updates you've added to it is insane, right? They must have a huge player base.
I think they have a very decent sized player base, but I know for a fact that they are like extremely engaged and super down to spend money in like a supporting type of way, which I feel like you don't usually see in free to play games. But I think because Hidden Variable's been so transparent and had such a strong connection with communicating with the fan base, that they kind of see that it's like a pretty sincere effort, that they're like, dude, we just love this game. We like making this game. We don't want to fleece you for money, but also we need to do these things.
We need to pay our people.
Yeah. And like, the fan bases seem to be like, that's cool, man. We'll buy your gacha, you know, characters, whatever. We're good with that. We just like the game. Keep adding to it. So I feel like that's nice. I feel like most free to play games really are trying to like pull the wool over your eyes and get you to like spend money and then not realize what you're doing or something. You know what I mean? They're trying to exploit you in some way. Instead of in this situation, they're just coming out and being like, look, buy our in-game widgets and stuff because it helps us out. And the players are like, cool, we got you. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, fuck you. Go play some fuck you. New character in Skullgirls. Super fun. So this is interesting. There was a game that came out on Steam back in 2015 called Distraint. And it was kind of a survival horror. No, I don't want to say survival. It was more of a horror themed adventure game. What's that?
This sounds very familiar.
If you watch the trailer for Distraint, you'll be like, oh yeah, I get it. It was like this pixel art, almost like Braid-like character designs. But it was really kind of like it was more a point-and-click type adventure game.
Oh yeah, I remember this. Yeah, as soon as you see the character, oh yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas it was like a side-scroller, almost like a platformer, but it wasn't a platformer. It was really just how the game progressed itself. At its heart, it was really an adventure game, which I thought was really cool. So there's a lot of like puzzles to solve and stuff like that. But more than anything, it was about the story, which has a very kind of poignant, you know, point to make, and a very like emotional roller coaster type of story that, yeah, resonated really well with people back in 2015. And then a couple years later, they brought it to mobile, where it worked extremely well just because of the nature of the game. It worked fine on touchscreen, and it was a nice experience for a lot of people there. Both those versions did well enough that they actually released a deluxe version in 2018, which featured some different colorizations and some different fixes here and there and whatever. It was a deluxe version. And then there was also a sequel released on PC that also made its way to mobile, I believe last year. So anyway, Distraint 1 and 2, kind of a cult classic on Steam and mobile. And really these games are all about telling a story in a point-and-click adventure type way, but not in that typical fashion, more like a side-scrolling game. So the guy that makes those games, Jesse Makunen, I guess I would say is how you pronounce his last name, he actually announced this last summer that he's making a new game called Heal. And it's similar sort of like idea in that it's like this side-scrolling game that's filled with sort of point-and-click style puzzle solving. But really, at the end of the day, it's about telling a story. And in this case, it's about guiding this old man through these different environments, solving these puzzles. He kind of reflects on his life. It has to deal with, like, dementia and some kind of heavy themes like that. And, yeah, one of those games, it's really about the story. And this is just kind of the medium and way in which they want to tell that story. But it looks very cool, and it was announced that it's actually coming to iOS, Android, and Steam all at the same time on April 10th. So that's pretty cool. I know a lot of people out there really like Distraint, and if you haven't played those games, they're super worth playing. They're only like a 2-3 hours max. They're not very long experiences, but I think they're the types of games that will stick with you for a while, and I think this new game, Heal, looks like it will be along those same lines.
Yeah, this seems cool. I just wish that I could pause my life
I know.
and just play all these like really cool Steam indie games that I know are
Yeah,
really cool.
I feel you.
And everyone says they're awesome, but it's like there's just they come out so fast
I know.
and everything else that I don't know. It's maybe when I retire. Maybe that's what we'll do when we're old.
Maybe
It's
if you
just
were
like,
stuck at home for some reason, you would have more free time for
yeah,
stuff
I
like this.
guess if I didn't have to work, that would
Yeah.
be amazing.
I like that games like this though too, where it's like, oh, it's like, 90-minute, 2-hour game or
Oh yeah,
whatever,
no, that's
and it's
amazing.
story based, so it's not like you have to replay it to collect a million things or anything like that. It's like, yeah, feed me those
Yeah.
so I can like just get it done and get on with my life.
Did you play what is it, Gato Roboto on the
No, I haven't
Switch?
played that yet. I think I own it. I'm
Is that
not
on
sure, but
mobile too? I don't remember if they
I
released it
don't think so.
everywhere.
No, I think it's just on Switch
Man,
or, other
that's like
platforms.
another really good example of a game that's like an hour long.
Yeah.
That's just like really fucking good from like start to finish. Doesn't outstay its welcome or anything.
Yeah. More like that, please. So anyway, Heal coming out on mobile and Steam on April 10th. Looks really cool. Minecraft Earth got a big update this week. Interestingly enough, kind of has to do with the whole quarantining thing. So this update, one of the big features is allowing you to spawn adventures anywhere, including and recommended to do them indoors, because obviously a game like Minecraft Earth, which is more or less
Yeah.
Pokemon Go, but Minecraft, you can't be going outside
Well,
nowadays
did
right
you see
now.
that Pokemon Go? This might have been quite a while ago now, a few weeks ago even. Like they made whatever the item is that makes Pokemon spawn around you without needing to like travel around. Like that's just
Oh,
free in the
really?
game now.
Yeah. No, that's good. I mean, you need to do that sort of stuff because there's still a heavy player base of these location-based games. That's their routine. It kind of sucks because the routine is go down to the park or go down to the
Yeah.
marina or go down to wherever and search out Pokemon, and that's how they're getting out and about. And you have to put a clamp on that or whatever. It actually reminded me of this tweet that I saw that I liked a lot, where someone was like, the whole quarantine Animal Crossing is the exact opposite energy of the summer of Pokemon Go. And I feel like that's so accurate, where you think about that summer of 2016, what, 2016, I think? And just everywhere you went was people playing Pokemon. It was just this fun, shared experience, but it was very much like all these shut-ins that are like, man, I never go out to the park, but I am now, and I'm meeting all these new people, and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, do the exact opposite of that. Stay inside. We still all have a major game that we're all playing at the same time and still like experiencing with each other, but sharing about it like, online instead of like in person. It's like the shut-in version of Pokemon
Yeah,
Go.
the best Animal Crossing tweet I've seen lately was like someone that was like, I've seen everyone tweeting about Tom Nook. I assumed you were talking about some American politician I don't know. Turns out it's a fucking raccoon in a video
Yeah,
game.
I saw that. It's so true though, like so much of Tom Nook could be applied to like douchey politician types.
Yeah.
But yeah, I imagine that a lot of people that wouldn't know the game at all would be like, who is this Tom Nook guy? People
Yeah.
seem to hate him. He sounds like a really
Yeah.
shitty person. So that's awesome. So anyway, Minecraft Earth updated. Play indoors if you
I
want,
would love
because
to
you can.
see. I bet these guys have like really good both the Minecraft developers and Niantic have really good data on like the actual amount of people staying at home and the trends of that, right? Because like really if you think about it, like who well I guess like Waze and Google Maps and stuff probably also have like really good data, but like who else would have like that granular user activity that's like so geolocation based
True.
to be able to, I mean, because like I'm sure they could just run some really simple report and be like, a last month, X percent of our users hit Y Pokestops and everything else, and like here's this month, like a 60% reduction or something else like that. It'd be
No, I agree.
interesting.
I think there's probably a ton of really useful data you could extrapolate from all the Pokemon Go stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe even incentivize people to stay inside by offering stuff that's like, hey, don't go to the park and play this. Play it in your backyard instead, and you'll get something cool.
Yeah, that was actually like not to hijack this talk about Game Club shit, but like that was actually like one of the things that we kicked around of like how we could figure out Well, whatever, it's coming up. Let's talk about the other stories and we'll kind of talk
We'll
about
get
it.
to your shielding, don't worry. So speaking of quarantine-based discounts, all the Holy Potatoes simulation games are free currently as of me saying these words. I don't know when you're going to listen to this podcast, but these games are all really cool. Holy Potatoes, a weapon shop, was the first released one. Holy Potatoes, we're in space, and then Holy Potatoes, a spy story. Most of my time I've spent with the first game, Holy
Potatoes.
Yeah,
me too. I played the shit out of that one. I haven't played the other two, and I am downloading them for free right now.
They're free, man, and they're actually really fun simulation games. There's definitely have some quirks, especially the mobile versions when they were first brought out had a lot of like technical issues, but the developers seem to kind of take care of most of those as far as I can tell. And these are all really quirky, fun simulation style games for free. Go get the free games and give yourself something to do when you're stuck inside.
Do you know how hard the other two games are? Because I feel like the first one was kind of like Kairosoft-y.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Do the other
I
ones
don't.
Get
I
into
actually,
that?
I didn't get into the third one at all, and I played We're in Space a very tiny bit, and it seemed pretty similar to the first game in terms of like kind of complicated complexity or whatever. But yeah, they all seem like really good games.
Well, I have them all downloaded. I will be playing them.
Daylight Studios. I couldn't think of who developed these games. So Daylight Studios. Oh, and they're they actually just released this puzzle game not too long ago called Taco Way. And that is free right now too. So while you're at it, go get that game too, because it's a super good puzzle game. I actually didn't realize it was those same people that made that.
What is it called?
Oh, so anyway, we talked about... Say that again?
Got it. Downloaded it too.
Got them all. Got all the games. We talked about this last week. There was a big Hearthstone summit. They announced all this crazy stuff coming to Hearthstone, and it has begun as of this week. The Hearthstone 17.0 update is out, which brings the new class, the Demon Hunter, and it enables the no duplicates feature that was talked about, where you don't have to worry about getting duplicates of cards anymore, which is a big deal for a lot of people. And it'll feature some ranked improvements, and it's also getting us geared up for the big expansion, the Ashes of Outland, which is coming on April 7th. Is that right? April 7th. So you can check it out right now to check out the new class and some of the other changes. There's also a bunch of changes with the priest class, a lot of new cards and a lot of old cards that got revamped and some that got switched out. And yeah, lots and lots and lots and lots of changes. Probably one of the most significant Hearthstone shakeups in the game's lifespan. So
yeah, I wish that the no dupes thing was from the beginning. Like that would have fucking cool.
Yeah, that probably would have made a big difference for a lot of people, but better late than never. And then the new expansion right on the horizon coming April 7th. So lots of good Hearthstone stuff happening if you're still playing Hearthstone. And then we'll bounce back over to another discount alert. This is not a freebie, but this is a discount on Disgaea 1, or Disgaea 1 Complete Edition, I should say, which was like the released on PS4 and Switch like last year, a remake of the original PS1 game. And people seem to like it a lot. The mobile version seems to be pretty good. It features a lot of the new stuff that was in the PS4 and Switch versions, so that's kind of cool. One of those big, robust strategy RPGs that's kind of fun to be able to carry around on your phone. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, to have a game with that sort of depth and quality. However, its retail price is $32.99, which is up there. That's up there. I mean, compared to on other platforms, the game's like $50, so it is still cheaper. But as far as mobile games go, you don't see a lot of people forking over $30 for a game. But again, I think you get your money's worth with something like this. This is like a full-blown, quote-unquote, real game. And
Capital R, capital G, real game.
Capital R, real game. But anyway, so it is actually discount from $32.99 down to $23.99. $24 is still expensive for a lot of people. I get that. But that's also almost like 30% off. It's like 25%. No, it's like 30% off. I mean, that's a big chunk off. So I think if you were like waffling at the $33 price, $24 is probably a good enough discount that you're like, all right, screw it. I wanted this game. I think the only caveat with games like this is like, hey, hopefully it doesn't break with iOS whatever next year. Or, you know what I mean? That's kind of the problem with all mobile games is you never know when one of Apple's iOS updates is going to break something, and you never know if the company that makes that game is going to bother fixing it or not. I think NIS America, which is who makes this game, I think they're pretty trustworthy, but then again, I don't know. It's a lot of money to dump into something that might not work come September. So,
I don't know. But that goes back to the kind of like common advice that we give people on that. Like, if you aren't downloading something for free, like the Holy Potato games, like don't, even if stuff's on sale, I would say don't download it unless you're going to play it soon.
Yeah.
Just because of like how fucked up things have been over the years with things breaking and stuff. Like iOS is not a platform for like hoarding games that you might play someday.
Yeah, right.
You know, whereas like I was buying cartridges on my 3DS like all the time when I would see them on sale on Amazon and stuff. Like some games I never even opened or whatever. And it's like, doesn't matter because it'll always work versus.
Yeah. You know? No, I need to follow that same advice on the Switch because I'm always tempted and sometimes cave in when there's crazy sales on stuff that I want, only to never even fire up that game by the time it's on sale again down the road for even cheaper the next time, whatever. And so I'm starting to learn that where I'm like, oh, I'm going to buy this on sale. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to play it right away. I know I'm involved in other things. I know I've got a huge backlog. And, you know, it'll probably be on sale at least that cheap or cheaper some other time when maybe I'm more prepared to want to play it.
Yeah.
And so I've avoided actually buying and taking advantage of some sales on the Switch lately because of that mindset. I'm trying to get better about it, but I have like the most insane backlog on my Switch.
No, it's really bad. It's
so
embarrassing for me.
Yeah. But I also agree, like only buy this game if you're like raring to play it and really spend some time with it. And then, you know, even if it broke this year, you can get your money's worth out of it before then anyway. I think it's like it's not like a high chance of that happening anyway. Like games don't just always break every iOS update or whatever, but it's one of those things that's you should know about, you should be concerned about. And I wish there was a better way of dealing with those types of situations. But
yeah, I mean, to be fair, like I don't know when the next time we're going to really need to worry about like at a like extinction level events in
that's
iOS, kind of
true,
you know?
Yeah, because they're like not they're not bumping up from 64-bit anytime soon. Yeah, so.
Like that was the thing, you know, like that was a very telegraphed, like hard line kind of thing where, I mean, like, although, you know, stuff has random crash bugs and stuff like that.
Right.
And, but it's hard to believe that, you know, a developer that's selling a $30 game wouldn't fix a crash on load bug.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Versus like the complete rewrite that 32 to 64 bit would sometimes take, you know?
Well, especially with games in this price range, you are betting on it having like a decent tail. Like, yeah, you're going to sell a bunch when it first comes out because there's some hype or whatever, but you're hoping to sell at this higher price in less quantities down the road. You know what I mean? So you don't want it to just break in the first month and never fix it. You want it to be available to buy well into the future so new people can discover it who are looking for this type of experience and are willing to part with this much money for something. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, exactly.
So it totally behooves them to keep the things working and fixed and whatever. So I think it's a lower risk type thing, but I don't know. It's always something you got to bring up on mobile, which is a shame.
Yeah, it's annoying.
But anyway, $24 for Disgaea 1 Complete on iOS. That's half the price of what it goes for on other platforms, unless it's a crazy Steam sale or something. So there you go. If you've been holding out on this one, this is probably a good time to bite with all the free time we've all got nowadays. And onto the Game Club shilling of the week.
Oh,
this is actually, what's that?
Shill. Chill away,
Chill
baby.
away. This is actually cool. We actually hadn't talked about any game club goings-ons for a while. So, you guys have expanded the family sharing feature up to 12 different devices, which sounds like
Well,
a lot of
it's
devices.
12 members, and we assume that people have, iPads and iPhones and stuff like that. So basically, we were assuming before that it was five members of your family, like Apple Family Share, and we just kind of like more than doubled the amount of people that we assume might be using one Game Club subscription, more or less. It was kind of tricky because like we were trying to like as soon as all this coronavirus stuff like started, I was like, man, we got to get out there and like give some stuff away like everyone's doing. Like this seems to be like kind of like almost like a community, like game community thing where it's like, hey, stay home, please. Here's some shit to do. Like, don't go out. Like, don't spread the shit around. Like, here, like, please just play these games or whatever. But like, and it's really tricky to give stuff away when it's like you're already giving so much away. Because like our trial's a month long. You play like I don't know, 75 games or however many games we have out now for free for a whole month and stuff. And it was just like, how do you go from there? So originally, and this was what I was going to mention when we were talking about the Minecraft stuff. Like originally the idea was like, well, what if like the games we have come out like are like geotagged, and if you're playing them in your house, you get some kind of benefit or something like that. And that just seemed really complicated to try to explain. So we were like, well, why don't we just make it so like you can share your subscription way more with more people than like all your kids, and call up your cousin and be like, hey, you want to play some iPhone games here, log into my thing. Stuff like that. So that's kind of the
Yeah, that's
direction we took.
it's also worth mentioning that this is not Apple's family sharing feature. This is your own thing where you use your Game Club email address that you're signed up to Game Club with, and basically log into other devices to activate the subscription on up to 12 devices, right?
Well, it's kind of, yeah, it's more like kind of like Netflix style sharing than the Apple Family Share stuff. So
Well, that's super cool because that covers a lot of damn people.
yeah.
Should hopefully convince people to kind of share the experience too. I feel like it's already it's such a crazy deal, $5 a month for how many
Yeah,
games there are.
it's kind of crazy. Like when we were putting together that the asset of all the different icons that like make up like the Game Club library, I was like, holy shit. Like it's like when you're immersed in it on a day-to-day basis, like you lose track of like just how much fucking content there is in this. But like when you look at like that image where it's like, here's all the icons that you get for $5 a month, it's just like, holy, this is insane, the amount of stuff we have now.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think that like Game Club has remained more interesting since launch than Apple Arcade has because Apple Arcade really blew their wad early and hasn't had anything super interesting come out in the time since. And they've been really spotty, really sporadic with their release schedule too. Like sometimes there's a game, a new game each week, sometimes there's not. You never really have any messaging on when or what's going on or whatever. And so it's kind of frustrating, even though I still love Apple Arcade, because man, they could have done it so much differently
Well,
if I was in
that's the
charge of that whole
fucking
thing.
frustrating thing, right? And it's like the and to be clear, this is my opinion, not related to Game Club or anything else. I'm not a bullshitter, like everyone knows that's been listening to this fucking stupid podcast for 500 episodes. Like it's like you knew this was going to happen when Apple announced all the Apple Arcade stuff too. Like it's just so it is so on like completely unexpected how this is turning out with Apple Arcade, where it's like blast a shitload of money into like all these cool games and stuff like that from, like cool people making cool stuff, and then just kind of like
Vanish.
I don't know. It's
I just
crazy.
don't it's like they have like a checklist of things they want, and so they're like big on services last year, and so all of their events were surrounding their new services and Apple TV Plus and Apple News Plus, and then oh, we got to have a gaming one too, so here's our Apple Arcade and blah 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 blah. And everything's, this monthly subscription, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, once they have all that stuff, it's like they move on to something else and they don't like nurture those services or anything. And that's how it feels to me, is like Apple Arcade had so much momentum, had so much power behind it. Apple was really throwing their weight behind it, and then it launched. And you think about it now, and it's like, I'm sure a lot of people are still subscribed and still happy because there's so many damn games. There's still stuff to play through, and it's still a great library, and it's still a great value. But it's like, how are you? You're probably not earning a lot of new subscribers, I would think. You know what I mean?
Yeah, who knows?
After initial put.
It's interesting. Like so everything that you have, like all the critiques you have of Apple Arcade, interestingly enough, like mirror like one-to-one to Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, totally.
Because
yeah.
It's like Apple TV Plus, and it's just like a weird Apple thing, right? Like they just like blasted all this cash into these services.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're into games or movies or TV stuff or whatever. And they launched these things, and you know, Apple TV Plus, like everyone was all jazzed about it. But everyone got it for free too, because it was like they were giving it away to everyone.
Yeah.
And you know, they watched the Jennifer Aniston like news thing, like the
I liked that actually.
The new show, it was fine. It was good. I don't know. I enjoyed it. The one with the guy that plays Aquaman, Jason Momoa or whatever his name is.
I did not watch that.
And then the show about space.
Right.
And I was like, all right, well, that was cool. I'm over this.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there has been new stuff that's come out. I certainly haven't heard anyone talking about it.
I've seen them announced, but I don't know if things have come out. But I also don't follow it that closely. The only time I fired it up was to watch that morning show.
Because like if you look at like what like Netflix is doing, for instance, right? Like that's what's like truly crazy to me about the Apple TV Plus, like more than Apple Arcade. Because like Apple Arcade's like hard to find stuff to compare to, because you know, so you compare it to like Game Pass, like Xbox Game Pass, I guess, like because they have a rapid cadence of new games hitting that too, and like, that's hard to compete with. But in the video world, it's like you're competing with Netflix. That there is so much shit that comes out on Netflix. Like if you decided, you know what, I'm gonna take a month off, I'm gonna watch everything that comes out on Netflix. I don't even know if you could do it.
Yeah.
You know, like this new Tiger King thing that just came out that everyone's talking about. Like we're two episodes into that, and it's just like a new thing that, but like Apple TV Plus is completely missing that.
Yeah, you can be caught up on everything on there in like a weekend.
Yeah, and you know, Apple Arcade to some extent like feels like it's kind of following in that same path. Which
Well, it's just dumb because you need to have your own sort of restraint, your own sort of like ability to prevent yourself from just like trying out a game for 5 seconds and then forgetting about it because you've experienced it. You know what I mean? Which I feel like is a big problem with mobile games for a long time.
Yeah.
So much cool stuff was coming out all the time. You'd buy so much stuff and then you'd fire something up once and then never play it again or whatever. And I feel like Apple Arcade has that problem where, especially if there's big involved games like Oceanhorn 2 and stuff like that, where it's like if you would have staggered those more and been like, here's our big tentpole game for the month, boom, Oceanhorn 2, and then filling it out with like some of the smaller arcade style games or whatever, and then kind of have that sort of pace month to month or even every other month, and be like, hey, everyone's playing this big crazy RPG for a month and a half. And then we release another big game because maybe a lot of people are done by then or whatever. I feel like you're giving people a chance to actually spend the time that needs to be spent in these bigger games. Whereas right now it's like, maybe I'll finish Oceanhorn 2 if I don't get distracted before, you know what I mean? Before it just, escapes into oblivion like so many other mobile games have for me.
Yeah.
And the cadence of mobile releases even outside of arcade is so fast that it's easy to get distracted and just never think of something again. You know what I mean? So
no, it's wild too, because like, you know, if they wanted to approach this as kind of like a publisher sort of thing, it's surprising to me that they didn't look at like how consoles treat their releases, you know, like, so for instance,
I don't know.
Like when Nintendo released Animal Crossing, now they were like, I'm sure as a company, they're like, clear the fucking runway. Animal Crossing's coming out.
Right.
Like, we can release some indie games around this, maybe promote them a little bit, but like everyone's going to be on Animal Crossing. Microsoft releases Halo, it's like, clear the fucking decks. Halo's out. No one's going to be playing anything else. this is
And
it.
Bethesda, you're good, because Doom's a good palate cleanser for Animal
Yeah, and
Crossing.
stuff like that, you know, but it's just like it's interesting that Apple's like not doing that when I don't know.
No, I
It's
agree. It
weird.
was just a weird
Particularly when
strategy,
they have
and I
like
wish I
infinite
could.
money too, you know, like I don't know.
Yeah, I would love to know what their long-term strategy or hopes are for it, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to be like Apple Arcade shuts down in a year from now or whatever,
That would seem
which I hope
crazy to
doesn't happen,
me.
or it just limps along and it doesn't matter if it's successful or not because it's just a thing. But that seems more likely to me.
If you, yeah, I mean, like, if you were like, all right, Eli, what are you putting your money on for what's going to happen with all this stuff? Like Apple Arcade and Apple TV Plus, because I feel like they're both in a really similar spot. Is like, what's going to
Yeah, I agree.
happen is you're just going to have like your annual iCloud membership, and like they'll just be value adds, you know? Because like, and I think I've mentioned this before. Like, remember back in the day, like when you bought a Mac, you would just get the dot Mac $99 a year thing as just like the default thing. It's like, well, I don't know, like I'm getting a Mac, so I need the whatever dumb services like the dot Mac online drive thing that you got, and I don't remember what the like so a little bit of web space and email address. And it was just like, yeah, why wouldn't I buy this kind of thing? And I think that like that's where these will eventually wind up, is the value add to just some like nebulous iCloud annual subscription thing. And I don't know. And like, you know, some people might subscribe for Apple Arcade, some might subscribe for the TV shows. A lot of people probably subscribe for like the disk space and backups and stuff like that, but it all just like gels together to make like that one annual subscription like that much more valuable. Which then allows Apple
Yeah, I
to be
agree.
like maybe that's included for the first year with iPhones, right? And then it's like, oh, well, I can buy some Android device, or I can buy an iPhone that I get a year of games, I get a year of like all these new like movies and TV shows, I get all the space on like the cloud and whatever other shit they want to throw in there. So that's what I would do if I was in charge, but I'm just some idiot in Tennessee, so
Yeah, you are.
in charge of nothing.
So anyway, kind of a crazy problem. But if you're a Game Club subscriber, go spread your subscription around with some
Share it
people and
around. Yeah,
let them enjoy gaming.
friends, family, doesn't really matter. Just you know, spread the love.
We're all stuck inside,
We
so
upped it, so good to go.
very nice. Oh, I didn't even get to the second part of this story,
Oh
which
yeah.
is very exciting. You announced a whole bunch of your spring lineup, which includes some heavy hitters. Erelon Sword and Shadow, that is like a defining mobile RPG. I had to look up and see when it actually came out. It's so old. It came out in like 2008,
Yeah.
right? 2009 maybe?
I think no, yeah, it's I don't think it was 2000, I think it was 2009, but yeah, it was
Oh, maybe I'm thinking Raven Sword was 2008. But anyway, yeah, Erelon was like just such a mind-blowing thing at the time. Nobody was making an original RPG that was that sort of depth. I'm sure it's probably, you have to look at it with a certain sense of nostalgia nowadays,
It's
because
like
it's
going back
probably
to if
like
anyone
a
played
PS1 game.
like Morrowind. Like once you played Skyrim and you go back to Morrowind, you're like, well, okay, this is a really good game, but like I definitely see like the improvements that modern games have made since then, you know? But
And then Neon Shadow, one of my favorite first-person shooters on
really good.
mobile, which I was sad for a really long time that this was broken. So I'm happy to see this come under the Game Club
I
umbrella.
forgot how good this game is. It's like
It's
seriously
so
like
good. It
a
has such an old-school vibe. Like,
yeah,
I love
I would
it.
say it's like probably the best version of Doom that's not Doom.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, it's the old Doom and Wolfenstein's work so good on touchscreen because they were sort of simplified and scaled back compared to like modern combat games and stuff. This retains that. So it's like simplified enough to play well on touchscreen, but a new game. And it knows it's playing, it's like trying to be an old school game. It's
Yeah,
nice.
like it even does like the screen melts, like transitions and stuff, which like I don't know, I just love all the little weird little
I
touches
love
in
that.
it.
Stellar Wars is like the Legendary Wars and Monster Wars third and final game, and that whole trilogy, those are awesome.
Yeah.
Barbarian is a super unique
Yeah, we released
game that
that yesterday.
Barbarian came out yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh,
That
sweet.
game is so much better than I remember it being.
It's really, really good.
Because it's been broken. Like that's, and that's like the case. That's like the theme for Game Club in general. It's like, I remember, I chase after these games because I remember them being really good, but
Yeah.
like you haven't been able to play them for years and years and years. And then like I'll get it like the very first test flight from our engineers, like once they get it running again, I'm like, oh fuck, this is so much better than I remember
Yeah.
being like.
You forget all these good games. The Big Journey, a cat-based platforming game, which is also
Yeah.
very good. Kind of a
It's like Rolando plus Gish, if you remember that game Gish.
I was gonna, why can't I think of the name of it? The green puffball platformer. What
That's
was that?
Gish, right?
No. What the hell? This is gonna drive me crazy. Leo's Fortune is
Oh,
what I'm
yeah.
thinking.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of that game, but that's Big Journey was also a really good platformer. Bridgie Jones, this one didn't register to me.
You don't remember Bridgie Jones? Oh,
I don't
dude.
remember Bridgie
This is,
Jones.
I would say this is the best bridge builder on iOS, and it came out so early. The only one that I think is in the running for like even coming close is Gameloft's Tiki Towers. You remember that game?
I remember Tiki Towers, yeah. Oh, Bridgie Jones, yeah. We reviewed it on Touch Arcade. Interesting. 5 stars, wow. Oh, I do remember this game. Oh, I've played this game. Yeah. God,
Yeah.
mobile's so weird. Like,
Isn't
oh
it?
yeah, 8 years ago I played this thing.
Because it has like so much style to it. Like it
Yeah.
honestly, in my opinion, like rivals like the modern bridge builder even, because it's like this really stylistic, silly bridge builder that's like really hard,
Yeah.
but also really silly.
Yeah.
So,
That's exciting.
yeah.
That'll be a kick to play an old game like that again. Circa Infinity is a really good. I don't even know how you describe that one. It's a
It's like,
weird circular
I always tell
platformer.
people, I described it as like, you know, the intro to the movie 12 Monkeys, the intro credits, like if that was playable, it's Circa
That's
Infinity.
kind of like it. Yeah. Kind of a brain melting sort of twitchy platformer game. Swap This, which I remember that game, but I didn't play it a whole lot.
It's big on the Switch now, weirdly enough. Like
Yeah.
they ported it over the Switch and it's been really popular there. And we've actually like backported the Switch version
Oh,
back
that's
to
cool.
mobile. And that's also true of Togitori.
Yeah, Togitori, I remember for sure. Really good puzzle platformer with really cool graphics, especially for the time. And sadly, this company went out of business. They re released a sequel. And I just think it didn't come together for them, but they've been maintaining the games that they did release,
Yeah,
which I
they released them on like they released both of these on the Switch as well as
yeah, I actually just bought them because they were on sale in one of
yeah.
those situations where I probably shouldn't have.
But no, like Togitori, I don't really understand why this game was so big when it launched under Chillingo.
Yeah,
Like
it
I don't
was.
know if they just like spent a ton of marketing dollars on it or if it just got
Maybe. I
like
mean,
the
it's a good
perfect.
puzzler, but it's not like yeah, I don't know. It's weird that it took off like the way it did.
Yeah, because it was like maybe it was just like perfect Apple featuring. I don't know, because it was
That could
like
be.
I really I mean, don't get me wrong, like Togitori is a really good game, but it like attained this level of popularity that just felt really unexpected for how tricky the game is.
Yeah, no, I can agree. Yeah.
So you play as this little like yellow bird and basically just trying to get to the exit level, and you can build like eventually unlock all this different shit you can build to solve puzzles and stuff.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's really hard, and I still don't understand why it was so popular, considering that it was really difficult.
Yeah, right. Well, that's cool though. It's a good game, and it's
Yeah.
good to see it coming back along with all those other ones. So that's all the ones that you've announced for this spring. I'm sure there's some others peppered in there too.
I'm trying to think other ones that we've got
Yeah.
on the Swords and Soldiers. Is there as Two Tribes other games where? We're working on that
Oh
too.
yeah.
It's
Oh, that's cool.
kind of like Legendary Wars in a way. It's like another one of those like deploy
Yeah.
units that fight on a 2D plane.
Yeah, I remember that game. I think Castle Defense Games, is that what they were called? Something like
Yeah,
that.
something like that.
But very cool. A strong lineup of games coming this spring on top of the expanded family sharing stuff. Yeah, Game Club's pretty awesome deal for $5. Also, if you've ever owned any of the games that are in the GameClub library, you can get their updated versions for free, which is still kind of like a mind-blowing thing to me. So you don't even have to subscribe if you've already owned some of those games, but hopefully you will anyway.
I appreciate if you would, because obtaining these, some of these games are like a lot of work. Like, it's crazy how much went into some of these. So,
and then you can do a month free trial, and then you can also play the games. Can you play them with ads too, or something like that?
Sort of. It's kind of like a shareware thing. You eventually you play up until like the end of like the demo segment or something.
Oh, right. And then it's like, hey, subscribe to play more, whatever. Yeah.
We're also rolling out a thing that is live now, but it's not the best user experience. Where, like, if you go to manage your Game Club subscription on the App Store, you can switch over to annual billing. So it's $50 a year instead of $5 a month, which will save you $10.
Oh, that's cool.
But it's not in the actual like Game Club app yet. You actually have to do it through like click your little profile in the App Store and go to your subscriptions, and you can switch it over.
That's cool, though. Hey, $10 extra.
Yeah, that was like, actually a big request from people was annual billing, which was kind of surprising. That
I've seen a lot of people asking for that for Apple Arcade too, which they did eventually come out with the same thing, same pricing too. But weird how people are like, man, I just want to pay it up front and forget about it.
Yeah.
Instead of being reminded every month that I'm paying for this thing.
I guess it makes sense.
Which I kind of get with that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's really cool. Yeah, Game Club's a good thing. Happy to shill it every week if you want.
Shill away, baby.
That's kind of all I got for this week. I'm running out of steam. How about you?
You want to talk about Animal Crossing real quick?
Yeah, let's talk about Animal Crossing. And we both have yellow shirts on. I just noticed. Yeah.
But yeah, Animal Crossing is really, really good.
I visited your island.
It's a cool place. I'm actually a little disappointed in you that you are not power gaming Animal Crossing to the extent that I expect you to.
Yeah, I just haven't really had the time, and I've kind of just been, I don't know. I still feel like I'm too early on, although I did clear cut an entire section of my island to plant fruit trees so I can maybe make some extra side money or whatever, but I'm about to pay off my second house upgrade.
Your own fruits or...
I have my own fruits, and then I have two other fruits. One of them I got from your island. I got a bunch of cherries, and then I had gotten some peaches that got sent to me at the beginning of the game. So I have some peach trees growing, and I have some cherry, like a bunch, like 25 cherry trees growing. And then the rest are oranges, which is my native fruit.
You can steal as many cherries as you want from me, buddy. I don't care. They're low value trash. Yeah, we need to become best friends
because then I can dig shit up on your island.
I'm not gonna let you fucking dig shit up on my island. Are you kidding me?
I'm not gonna break anything.
That's a level of trust I'm not sure I'm ready for.
Well, all your trees were out of coconuts, and all I wanted to do was plant a coconut, but I couldn't. I couldn't shovel up one of your trees. Raz at flying there and taking a whole tree with you.
I think my coconuts might be regrown now. Let me take a look.
Nail me one, man. Come on. Just
come steal them. They're on every, if you go to the Nook Miles Island, they're on every.
Oh, really? You're the only island I visited. I haven't done any other traveling. I've just been too busy dicking around the island. So,
little baby, not power gaming like you should.
No, I'm not.
My island is like a factory farm. It's like running. Yeah. It's like when Henry Ford invented the assembly line. That's my That's my island right now.
Yeah, yeah.
No, my coconuts are not regrown yet. They'll probably be regrown tomorrow. You can have as many as you want.
All right, make a Saturday out of it. But yeah, having so much fun with this game anyway. It's crazy how fun Animal Crossing still is.
It's crazy too because like you do so little in the actual game. Like the first weekend I had it, which I guess was last weekend. I seriously spent like Friday to Sunday night just like fishing and catching bugs.
Yeah, and it's fun because you either catch a new one that you can give to your museum, or you are making money back because that progression loop is just so strong to upgrade all your crap. And I don't know, it's just crazy. But it's also like so brilliant how they delay it out based on like real time stuff too. Cause it's always like, oh, tomorrow I have so much stuff to look forward to. Like, you know, this thing's going to be built or this person's coming to town or, you know, whatever.
Do you have your museum yet?
Yeah, my museum.
Dude, like that is so fucking good. It's crazy.
Oh, the aquarium is mind-blowing.
Like,
Like, I just
seriously.
want to sit in there and just let it idle and just enjoy the aquarium.
Like, I want the Animal Crossing Museum as a VR experience.
Yes, that'd be sick.
Like, that's what,
Yeah.
it's like so nuts how they nail, like, the music, like, the sound, like, the design, everything. Like, it's almost like you
It's
can, like,
like a legit,
yeah, it's crazy. It's like almost like you can smell the museum smell when you're in there. I don't know. It's like completely surreal playing that part of the game because it was like they just like nailed it to an extent that I didn't know was possible.
Yeah, I felt that way too when I first went on a tour through it. I was like, oh my God, like this feels real. But it felt like a place I wanted to hang out in too, as opposed to just like a place to see your collection. It's like I'll actually go in there and sit down and chill out. And I don't know, I
I
just
hope
love
they
animals.
do like so Nintendo sounds like they have like a really aggressive event schedule. Like this update that just hit is like some Easter event that's coming. I really hope they do like museum events that are like inside the museum,
That's cool.
like a lot of museums actually do, where there's like dinners at
Galas,
museums and stuff. Yeah,
galas.
stuff like that. So I don't
We'll
know.
see.
Animal Crossing is great. Everyone should play it.
I know. It's been hard to. It's sitting
Although
over there.
the I guess you haven't fucked with the Dodo Code stuff very much, but it is like a true Nintendo's monkey paw wish of
Oh,
online stuff. Yeah, because like they so during the last big Nintendo Direct before they released Animal Crossing to like the final tease, they showed the
really?
Dodo Code system because like before on the DS with or 3DS on New Leaf, if someone had something cool in their town, you guys had to become mutual friends through the insanely shitty 3DS friend code system, and like both people had to enter each other's codes, and it was just
Yeah, I
like
remember
true nightmare. Like it was almost too much hassle to even
that.
like when you saw someone online being like, oh, I got this shit in my town today, it was like a thing to even get to their
Like, I don't
town.
have an hour to spend to do
Yeah.
this.
Whereas so the new Animal Crossing, they have this thing called a Dodo code, which I think is a 5 or 6 digit code, alphanumeric code, so you know like G43D2S or something like that will get you to my island when you give the guy at the airport my code. And that works great, but the problem is people coming and going to your island is so fucking disruptive. It's unbelievable. Because like you get this like entire loading screen each time someone like comes and goes, and you can't be in any kind of conversation, you can have your menu open
Oh,
or anything
really?
else like that. Like it is unbelievable how shitty
Didn't know
everything
that.
else is.
So is that why you only just idle and let people come to your island while you're not actually playing?
Yeah, because you can't like so if I and there's a lot of people on Twitter that are like searching for Dodo codes for like places to just go, which understandable. But yeah, like during the day when I'm working, sometimes I'll just like post my Dodo code and like look over on my Switch and it just be like nonstop loading screens of just like people coming and going. And like and what sucks is like if you're on someone's island that like gets Zerg rushed from like random people, it's like you're trapped. You can't leave. So the only
Really?
thing you can really do to sometimes get out is just like quit your Animal Crossing, which then kicks everyone off the island because there's like some a communication error.
Oh my God. Yeah, that sounds the total monkey paw wish right there.
Yeah.
That
So
sucks.
I don't know. I'm hopeful that they do something to make that better, but I was reading online, someone was speculating that like the reason it is the way it is because like the island has to reload for every single person that comes. So that's why
Damn.
everyone gets the loading screen and stuff.
There seems like there has to be a better way to do that.
Yeah. It's surprisingly annoying. Because like that's what I was looking forward to is like, oh yeah, I'm just playing my game. All right, yeah, here's my Dodo code. Come and go as you want. I don't give a shit. Versus like the way it actually turns out, it's like, oh man, I don't want to leave my island though, but it's fucking annoying when people come and go. Like,
That's so crazy.
yeah.
That sucks. I haven't really messed with any of that stuff yet, but
So
soon enough, I'm sure I'll be disappointed by it. So,
yeah. So, all right, cool. Well, should we drive this podcast into Tom Nook's tent?
trap it through Tom Nook's heart. Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. Tuts Arcade is primarily supported through our readers and our listeners and our viewers. So, if you like Tuts Arcade and want to continue seeing us do what we do, consider checking out patreon.com/TouchArcade, throwing a little support our way, or doing your Amazon shopping through TouchArcade.com/Amazon. It's a great time to do some Amazon shopping, I hear, because we're all stuck at home, as long as you can wait a little bit longer for your stuff. And yeah, with that, I guess we will bid you adieu and see you next week on another episode of the Touch Arcade Show.
See ya.